Okay, Erev Tov, everyone. Thank you very much for coming. Parshas Noach, Rav Lopiansky's Yesodei HaTorah, Foundational Ideas in Chumash. And we begin with Perak Vav, Pasuk Yod Beis. And, interesting thing with a little extra twist from the Sfasamus as well. It's on page Gimel, but nobody here has the Sefer, so that's irrelevant. Here we go. So, he quotes from Rabbeinu Bachaye, the beginning. V'daki inyan amabu raya brura al inyan chidesh ha'olam va'al ha'hashkacha. He says, the Mabul, the fact that Hashem destroyed the world, Rabbeinu Bachaye says, is a raya brura on two things. That God created the world and that God's watching what's going on in the world. Two obviously fundamental things. He wouldn't have destroyed the world had he not been watching what's going on. Bir Oseinu, of course we see, Shakadosh Baruch Hu ma'anish u'mechale es harishayim min ha'olam, that he punishes and gets rid of the wicked people from the world. U'mashir she'eris min ha'tzadikim k'go Noach u'banav. And it's no accident that he allowed, come Barry. It's no accident that the people that were described by the Torah as tzadikim, Noach and his children, Noach ish tzadik, so they're the ones who are allowed to live. Zelos ki ha'olam mechudash, the world. Again, it's interesting. He seems to be saying that somehow this is a raya, that the world was created by Hashem. V'chi ha'hashgacha shofas b'shvalim. Yeah, that part I get. V'chi ha'hashgacha shofas b'shvalim. That Hashem's hashgacha pours over even into this world. Ki b'vadai k'shem shahaya Adam harishon avarosh l'chol anivroim acharav. Just like Adam harishon was the first to everybody that was created after him. Kein haya Noach avarosh l'chol anivroim achar hamabul. So too was Noach, the leader to everyone created after the Mabul. Noach was the first person. Now, again, somehow the Rabbeinu Bachaye sees in this a proof that that the world was created Yesh Me'ayin. I guess what he means is, okay, that's not the main part that I want to see from this, that somehow, just like Hashem created the entire world from Noach, or just like Hashem, in a similar way to the fact that he created the entire world from Avraham Avinu, he then recreated the entire world the second time from Noach. So, again, the point of Hashkacha, we're going to be coming back to time and time again this year, that one of the most important lessons of all of Parshas Noach is that wicked people are going to get punished and righteous people are going to get rewarded. That certainly we see in the Mabul. That's clear. That's going to come up time and time again, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching what's going on and he's paying. Here he adds in another point, that this is a raya, this is a proof that the world was mechudash, that the world didn't just sort of come into being from a big bang. Just like God started the world the second time by Noach, he started the world the first time by Adam. That's not really what I wanted to say over this thing, but the beautiful pshat connected to this is the Sfas Emes. Because the Sfas Emes asks a related question here. The Sfas Emes asks, if God knew his world was going to be destroyed 1,000 years after he created it, well then why did he create it? Why didn't he just start with Noah? Just start with Noah. What do you got to create Adam, all those people, wipe them all out, and then start over again? Just start the first time with Noach. He knew what was going to happen. I heard from one of the Hasidish, the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says a very, very beautiful idea, a very powerful idea. There's a Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Hey. The Gemara in Ksubis teaches, Gedola Maisa Tzadikim Yoser Mi Maisa Shemayim Va'aretz. That the actions of tzaddikim are greater than even the creation of heavens and earth. That's what the Gemara says. The actions of tzaddikim are greater than even the creation of heavens and earth. Says the Sfas Emes, that's why God did it in this way. And God wanted to show the world as follows. My creation of heavens and earth, that I'm willing to totally rip up and destroy. Just because I did it, I'll totally destroy it the way I did it. But Noach, the Maisa Tzadikim is even greater. He's going to survive, and I'm going to build a whole world now. I'm going to build a whole world out of Noach. That my world I destroyed, but Noach's world is going to live. Like the Gemara says in Ksubas, Gedola Maisa Tzadikim, that Noach's actions were great enough to sustain the entire universe, even after God himself had destroyed the entire universe. It was worthwhile for Hashem to recreate the universe just because of Noach's righteousness. That his tzidkus was willing to build the world. And we have to know that our actions, our righteous actions, build worlds. Our righteous actions build worlds. And it's interesting, I was just flew into my head right now what the rabbi said at the Siyam last night. We had a Siyam on the Seches Ksubas last night, and the rabbi said over a maral on the very first Rashi in Noach, that Noach ish tzaddik, the pasuk says, Elo told us Noach, these are the children of Noach. Then it says, Noach ish tzaddik. So everybody asks the question, what do you mean? These are the children of Noach. But it doesn't say the children of Noach, it goes in the second pasuk. So the maral says that the main offspring of a tzaddik are not his children. The main offspring of a tzaddik is the way he creates himself, is what he does with himself. That's the main offspring of a tzaddik. He proves it. He has proofs to it, but he says, and also his kids are his offspring. That's also something that he creates. But what we create, we spoke about this Parshas Bereishis a lot, about how the creation of man is up to man. Man is the only creation. Come, John, right here. Right here, come, John. You have to sit so far away.
I need a little sprint.
Okay, you need a little sprint. Okay. So we learned last week about how man has such a role in his own creation, but one of the underlying ideas that the Torah is stressing in Bereishis and Noach is the power of the actions of man. Here, Noach, the whole world was spared, was recreated only because of him. One might imagine that had Noach not been a tzaddik, the world would not have been recreated. That's what this Vasema seems to indicate.
But why did Hashem create it to destroy it? Did he answer that?
I think that's what he means. He created destroy to show that man's actions in a certain sense are even greater than God's actions. God's saying, I'm willing to destroy my actions, but Noach, he's going to build the world. I'm going to destroy my world, but a tzaddik can build the world. That this world was made for man's activities. Anyway, this is point number one. Now, so everybody asked the other kasha. Everybody also asked this kasha. It's the very next piece over here. This is a very, very important yisod, which we talk about all the time, but a very important yisod, a foundational idea in Judaism. Certainly, the whole Noach being saved in the Teva was a miraculous event. Certainly a miraculous event. The whole world is destroyed. God tells him to build the Teva. But the question is, why did God do it in that way? Like tell him to spend 120 years building the Teva. He could have saved Noach miraculously in a lot of ways. He could have had all of them float on top of the water. He could have had all of them go to Eretz Yisrael. We'll see a lot of the Midrashim say that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. But whatever, we'll talk about that in a few moments. But so why did he save him this way? This is Rabbeinu Bechai's kasha. Let's see in the next piece. V'ulai tishal b'chan. Kevin shaya davar neis. Lam yitzav alasas ha-teva meitz ha-yadua. Uv'midos yiduos ba'orech v'rocha v'koma. What? These measurements could fit every 2x2 all the animals in the world just because he built these measurements. V'lasas gimel medurim tachtim shtim v'shlishim ha-kash baruch yuchal atzim v'bli teva. First of all, God could have saved everybody without a teva. Could have saved everybody without a teva. Give to Jay. Could have saved everybody without a teva. V'sheyelcho apnei amayim. Either they could have floated on top of the water. Oh, yochal afriach ba'avir. You could have also pulled a Harry Potter on them and suspended them. I was trying to learn on the plane. The guy in front of me was watching some Harry Potter movie. It was like hard to concentrate on the Gemara. But I never read Harry Potter. I'm familiar, but I was clear what the person in front of me. Anyway, everybody was flying over there. So Lamaisa. So kilo yuchal v'sheyelcho apnei amayim o yuchal afriach ba'avir. Hashem could. Harry Potter could do it. HaKadosh Baruch could do it. He can make people fly. He call yuchal v'lo yivatz. He call yuchal. He can do anything. V'lo yivatz anymore. V'atshuva b'zeh. Well, so there's a lot of answers to this guy. Ooh, welcome, come. You got a good seat still. Come. So Some people give the answer. Some people give the answer that, well, he wanted him to build a teva. Come bring a chair. And he wanted to build a teva. He wanted to build a teva so everybody else should maybe do tshuva. They should see, oh, it's coming, right? Everybody should watch it. But that's one answer. Many of you have shown the answer. Rav Eitan B'chai says differently. He says, Ki derech ha-Torah litzavos alav shiasa kol yicholta b'derech ha-teva. U'mash yekzer ha-teva behen yashtem ha-nes. That Hashem doesn't like running the world, that when he wants to accomplish something, he does it just through a pure miracle. He needs us to make our hishtadlus. We have to do our part, and then Hashem picks up with the miraculous from where our hishtadlus leaves off. But we're not supposed to live our lives and say, oh, I'm just going to rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu doing an ace. You have to do your hishtadlus, and once you put in your effort, hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond with the miracle. Aderech Zeh. Right, every time I run a fire drill in yeshiva with the high school boys, by law I have to run 12 fire drills a year. 8 of them before January. And you can imagine how much high school boys like to do fire drills. When was the last time there was a fire in a school in the United States? Anybody know?
Never.
I don't think there ever was. I don't think there ever was. But anyway. I'm not Chas Hashem. Atuf Tachpel HaSatan. I'm not hoping there'll be one tomorrow. But so what do I always tell the boys? I say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to decide what happens, whether there's going to be a fire or not a fire. But we have to do our Hishtadlus. We have to be safe. We have to have protocols and procedures that we do. And once we do what we need to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hopefully do what he needs to do. Says the Rabbi Nechai, if you look carefully at all the miracles, he says, even the most obvious and public miracles that took place throughout Chumash, there's some piece of teva in it as well. Right? When we go to war in Israel, you're not supposed to, you got to have weapons, you got to go to war. You don't just say, oh, I live in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deliver me from the hands of the Goyim, so we shouldn't have an army, and we shouldn't have guns, and we should... No! Gama Kosta Shomar, Simlecha Orev, Le'ir Me'ach Harel, go ambush them from the back. Me'ach HaShakol, Yonim Milchama, Same Shayisah HaYodei, Nisim Gedolim, all the Jewish wars are miracles. Ma'yitz Tarchu Le'ma'arav, why do we need an ambush? Kaminag Ha'umos, like the Goyim, Shem Milchama, Same, Nimshachos, Achar, Teva, come, God, you're right here, we got a good seat for you. Ela b'vadai, ha'yu ru'uyim l'snaig b'derech ha'teva, v'Hashem yash l'mashi yechzar. We have to do our best b'derech ha'teva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mashim b'alkein. Bo ha'mitzvah b'torah b'tikon ha'ma'arochos u'dvarim rabim kayotze b'eila. What does that mean? B'tikon, I think that means the battle, the armies, the battle, the army battles. The ma'arochos are the lines of battle. U'dvarim rabim kayotze b'eila, many, many things like that. That they start with teva. So we're not supposed to just sit back. We're supposed to make our hishtadlus. Person has to go to doctors. He has to take medicine. He can't say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be sick, I'll be sick. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be well, I'll be well. You can't say that. You don't live your life like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created nature in the world, and we're supposed to use nature and live through the rules of nature. So that's why he told Noach, build the teva. Even though he could have saved him from the marble by having him floating and the animals weren't going to fit in as big a teva as he's going to make anyway. But this is a very big yesod that ain somchan al anes, that we have to make our hishtadlus. Oh, now I want to share with you two beautiful ha'aras. Oh, one very, very important ha'ara from the Sfarno. Just a one-liner from the Sfarno. Anyway, I'm skipped a lot of this stuff from the Mabel. We're going to right after the Mabel. There is other stuff to talk about, but anyway, I want to show you a Sfarno on Perek Tes Pasuk Chaf. Perek Tes Pasuk Chaf, beautiful little piece of Sfarno, one liner. What does he say? He says that Vayachal Noach Isha Adama Vayita Karim. Noach, after the Teva, plants a vine. he plants a vine. So, says the Sparta, by Yochel Noach, Hiskel befoal bilti noos. There's a big muster over here, says the Sparta. What's the first thing? What's the first thing he does? The first thing you do has a lot of significance in any scenario. Let's say a young couple just gets married. What's the first decision, you know, the first major decision they make? The first, you come to yeshiva at the beginning of his mind. What's the first thing that you do? Why the first thing, right? Right? What does the pasuk say? Tov acharis davar mei reishiso. That's a pasuk in Koheles, I believe. Tov acharis davar. Now, the simple explanation of the pasuk means that the end of something is better than the beginning. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of difficulties at the beginning of something. And as long as you end well, all's well that ends well. That's sort of what it means. Tov acharis davar mei reishiso, all's well that ends well. But the Bali Musar say, no. Tov acharis davar mei reishiso. You can determine how the end of something's going to be by the way you begin it. Not that the end is better than the beginning. The end happens from the way you begin it. Oh, that's what the Sfarno says over here. Vayachnoch, hischa before built in os. So one thing led to another thing that led to another thing that led to another thing. That's what we have to know. That's the way things work. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah, aveir goreres aveir. Why does it work like that? Why does life work like that? I mean, of course, you could stop the spiral, but why do things spiral like that? So the way I always understood it, well, let's first see what he says, then I'll tell you what I understood. But hiskel before, but he knows. V'lachein nimesh ma'asan shloisu ki amnam me'at min akilkel b'haschala, says the Sfarno. If there's a little mess up at the beginning of things, yisabev harbi menu b'sof. Right, a little mess up at the beginning causes a lot of mess up at the end. Kemosh yikra b'chachmos mehatos b'haschala. Right, if you get, let's say you're doing a ten line math problem. If you messed up in the first line, by the time you get to the 10th line, it's going to be way off. Similarly, by Moav, it started off with a little bit of inappropriate activity, ended up with Avodah Zarah, they ended up going way off the track. How do I understand how this works? So the way I understand is like this, that once a person does a sin, or he takes a bad step. So not only is it the bad step that he took a bad thing, but it affects you as a person, and you become now lower. So once you become lower, once you got knocked down a rung, you were defiled by the act that you did, so you become more likely to do more defiling things. That's the way things work. When you defile yourself, you lower your level, so now there's a whole new array of opportunities to you to do bad that you didn't have a few minutes before. Because when a person does something wrong, it contaminates him. It lowers him. It affects him. So the Sfarno is teaching us over here that, again, what's so bad about planting a vine? Like, planting a vine by itself is not such a terrible thing. And now we're going to speak a little bit more about wine. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's actually the Gemara about Ben Sora Omora. Ben Sora Omora, the whole sugya in the 7th parak of Sanhedrin, that it talks about the ills of wine and the dangers of wine. And we see, unfortunately, in our time as well, nothing has changed since that time that Noach got drunk. The whole Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the evils and the ills of excessive use of wine. And Rabbeinu Bechaya here speaks about it as well. What's the whole reason why the Torah tells us that right after the Mabul, Noach had that whole thing with wine and he got uncovered his nakedness? And why does the Torah tell us that whole story? What do I need that whole story for? So says the Rabbeinu Bechaya. And I think it's fair to say that the Rabbeinu Bechaya is the hero of this week's shiur. V'inei, ha-parsha hazos azhara al hayayin ki-parshas nazir o yoser. It's similar to the parsha of Nazir in warning us about the dangers of wine. I think he means that the fact that the Torah celebrates the fact that a Nazir is willing to abstain, that's a good thing. That's the way he understands it, at least. The Chain Darshu, Zal B'Sanhedrin. Now watch this. Gemara Sanhedrin Dafayin. Yud Gimel Vavin Nam Rubiayin. The Gemara says Sanhedrin, there are 13 Vavs in this chapter that talks about Noach with wine. 13 Vavs. And we'll see
who cares that there are 13 vavs? What does that do for me? So let's see. Let's see if we can figure it out. V'chein dorz l'atashin. Yud gimel vav in a minute. Vayochel, vayesht, vayishkar, vayiskal, vayar, vayagi, vayikach, shein vayefes, vayosimu, vayelchu, vayichasu, vayochas, vayeda. Okay. So what? That there are 13 vavs. What does that do for me? So if you look inside the Gemara, what the Gemara means is that all of these 13 vavs are followed by a yud. And the word vav yud, vai, vai often means oive. It means vai means there's 13 oives from the wine. 13 oives. One oive leads to another oive, another oive. That's the way wine works. You lose yourself with wine, it leads to a lot of other bad things. And that's why the Ben Sora Amora, by the way, that's why the Ben Sora Amora meets his horrible end. That's what the Gemara is talking about over there. The Gemara asks, Tartim Arbasar V'chati Lug Yayin, you bring him to the Beis HaSkila and you kill him. The Gemara says, no, because when it comes to wine, one thing leads to another. We Yard the Torah Sof Daita, we know what's going to become of him, which is a whole Peledika thing by its own right that the Torah cares so much about what's going to happen in the future. V'chein Amar Shlomo, Lemi oy u lemi avoy, lemi midainim lemi midinim lemi siach, etc. And he answers for those who drink wine. Veina kavana b'yayin bilvad, not just about wine. Yehu adin l'chol shar tavos olam. Any tavos that a person delves into in an excessive fashion are dangerous for a person. Shanim shachachareyin hu nitshad min ha'olam hazeh u min ha'olam haba. And that's the mistake that so many kids make. They think, okay, Olam Haba, I get it. But at least let me have Olam Hazeh. You know, all they can see in front of them now is Olam Hazeh. They don't realize that wine is not only matured them from Olam Haba, it doesn't only affect them spiritually. It's matured them from Olam Hazeh. It doesn't give them simcha. It's not real simcha. It's not real growth. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. The temporary high that you get, the few minutes of lightheadedness, the few minutes of losing it, whatever it is, that's not what real joy is. They're nitshad min ha'olam hazeh and min ha'olam haba. V'hayayin av l'kol. Wine is just the most ultimate example of how gashmius causes a person to be distracted from that which is really important. Shihu agorim avdan haguf v'hanefesh. V'amash shlomo olav shlomo koheles. Ki mi yochal umi yochush chutz mi meni. Wow. Very powerful pasuk. I assume what this means is Shlomo HaMelech was a king. He was extremely wealthy. He had his choice of all the gashmis in the world that he could have had. Klomar, mi amar al tanug ya'olam, umi yis'aneg b'chush ya'guf yosem yimeni. Who had the opportunity to have more physical pleasure, says Shlomo HaMelech, than me? I had the most opportunity. V'amar harav, gam zehevel. And that's what he said. He said, it's worthless. We're running after the physical pleasures. We're running after the gashmis. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's not significant. That, says the Rabbeinu Bechayai, is the significance of the story of Noach, right after the Mabel. The goal of that story, the whole goal of that story is to teach us right at the beginning of creation, right at the beginning of the world, the new world, this is what he did, the first thing that's not the right direction to go in. And again, one asked everybody talks about it. I didn't see any discussions directly here. What do you do with the fact that Noach was a tzaddik? And I just got finished saying how HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought Noach was so amazing that he was willing to create the whole world for him. And then right afterwards he goes with this. Very strange. Right? Before they call him Ish Tzaddik. And after the Mabel they call him Ish HaAdama. Right? Noach is Ish HaAdama. And somehow something happened there on the table. Something happened in the interim. Something changed. And Noach, for him to head in this direction. So that's also sad that a person has to realize, Al tamen ba'atzmo ad yomoscha. Just because a person's going in a certain direction in the beginning doesn't mean he's going to stay at the Yejek.
I just wanted, it's like a little siyata nishmaya, so I just wanted to share with the Torah. So not in the name of Rabbeinu Bacha, but Rav just told me this word, the name of Nissen Kaplan, this word about what was so bad. And the fact is, the first thing he did after the Mabul was to plant vineyards. So, but what he said was, he said, this is a good message for all of us, for me, but for all of us, that what do we do right after Havdalah? Right after Havdalah, what do? We automatically check our tests. he said that you should always, like, that's the lesson. The lesson is, after Shabbos, that shouldn't be the first thing that we should do. We should have a real Abdullah, and we're going to check the text, but it could wait. It shouldn't be the first thing.
Not the first thing. Okay. Okay, interesting. Not the first thing.
Definitely not the third.
It's amazing. Everybody does exactly the same thing. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yeah. We're all addicted. We're all attached. Oh. Now our voice side. Oh. Here we go. Oh. Joe, you're making excuses. Okay. And now we're gonna spend a little bit of time discussing the Dor HaFlaga. The Dor HaFlaga, right? Those are the two big Averis in the Parsha. The Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlaga. And the big issue, and here we're going to study. Many people don't study this. One of the reasons I love this learning this from Lopiansky is because he quotes a lot of things that most people do not normally in the course of normal learning. Learning is a sefer I happen to know about because my Rebbe was a very big chassid of the sefer. But how many commentaries on the parasha do we have written by drushas written by a rishon? Drushas written by rishon. There's a sefer called Drushas Haran. Drushas Haran. It's the Ran, the same Ran who was the Ran who was the commentary on the Gemara, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Ran. He wrote a book of drushas on Chumash. Drushas. Not like a pasuk by pasuk commentary. Drushas on Chumash. So there's a little bit of a longer piece that we have here where he talks a lot about this question about the Dor HaFlaga. And again, the Dor HaFlaga also so many questions. What exactly was their sin? It's very unclear. Was there even a punishment? I'll let him speak for himself. V'zeh ha'yin Dor HaFlaga. Ke'en safek, ki be'es ha'hi, ha'yu kol b'nei ha'olam, nostim, al emunos nifsados. Well, I have to see whether I included the part where he asks all the kashas, but basically, the basic fundamental questions are, what's the Avera? And if the Avera is really Avodah Zarah, some people say, oh, the Avera was what they tried to go fight. The Rashi quotes, they tried to go build a big migdal and go fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heavens.
Tower of Babylon.
Yeah, that's like, that's ridiculous. That's a little strange to assume that there were actually human beings who thought they could get up there. Sounds a little bit strange that would be such Avera. If you tell me it's Avodah Zarah, that's a very serious crime. Why wasn't there a serious punishment to hit the Avodah Zarah? So those are some of the questions that a lot of the Rishonim were asking with the Tower of Babel. What was it? If it was a sin, then where's the punishment? If it wasn't a sin, so then why was there any punishment at all? How does the punishment fit the crime? Oh, let's see what he talks about. So basically, if I had to summarize in one word what he says, and there's a lot more than one word here, but what he talks about is chevra. He talks about chevra. That's what he views as the major issue. That when you get a chevra together, that together wants to do no good, even if they haven't actually done the no good yet, but the beginnings of assembling a team of people that dafka want to do no good, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking to head off at the pass. And what I learned from that is that when you have a chever of people coming together to do good, it's the same thing, a chever of people in a shul or in a shir or a group that comes together to be mechazik each other, so the effects on the positive are even more. And let's see if we could try not to spend 20 minutes on this. Let's try to read it quickly. There was a lot of Avodah Zarah going on in the world. There were some people there weren't big enough numbers of people getting together to serve Hashem, because they were afraid of most of the people who are over the Avodah Zarah. The whole story happened to him because he was like a lone wolf, Avram. And that's why the whole story with Nimrod happened, because most of the world was on Nimrod's side. He had to leave his land. He had to go to a new place and start far away. For those people, for those individuals, those few pockets of righteous people that existed in the world, it would be horrible for them if everybody stayed in one place. Because if everybody stayed in one place, they would be hugely outnumbered. That's the way the Ran understands this whole parsha. If everybody would stay together, it's because they were the majority of people in the world over there. If everybody stayed in one place, they would be overwhelmed and outnumbered. So that's what he says. The fact that people would get spread out over the world would be much better for the tzaddikim because they wouldn't be fighting against such massive numbers. If people would spread out, so they'd find a little place that there weren't so many people fighting with them, and they'd be able to worship Hashem. Kasher kara lanu begaloseinu hayom, says the Ran, like we are in our galus today. What gives Klal Yisrael the ability to thrive even amongst the non-Jews? Because the fact that we're scattered. If everybody was all in one place, we know what would happen. So, ki kasher neschadish shmad be'eretz Yishmael, if there's a shmad in one Arab land, Yanus pleitem al eretz aches, we have other Jews to go find in other places. U'misham li Yishmael, v'zeh etzleinu mechaya ma'at be'avduseinu. The pasuk says everybody had the same language. They wanted to make one person in charge. They shouldn't be spread out all over the world. They found a nice valley. Everybody wanted to be near the palace. Muflag, kafiyah of sharas, as tall as they could make it. Kasher ba pasuk achem zeh b'shava arim gedolos uvutzuras b'shamayim. K'chein ayiran l'mishnev chaliyos moshem olam atachton, sh'yarmonu megadol galuyosim od. Ad sh'b'yos amigda yislavish k'orei pachin amor v'sh'yanira meirachol. Everyone should be scared of this big palace and it should be able to be seen from far away. That's why it had to be so large. V'hinei, elu ha'nashem b'esahi, lo chatu b'davar, says the Rosh Hashanah. The people who built the Tower of Babel, in the building of the Tower of Babel, there was not even one iota of sin per se. There was no sin in building a big building. What's the matter with building a big building? There's no sin in that. Lo b'maaseh v'lo b'machshava. There was no sin in action nor in thought. There was no actual sin in thought. Ella, Hashem yisbarach tzofet u'mavet l'meirachok. But God knew what this evil could easily lead to. Yerei v'mashe yimashech mikatan ha'anashim ha'ra'im. V'hu amro v'yered Hashem liros. Many of the Rishonim say v'yered Hashem liros means he saw the end of it. Only v'yered, when he came down. Where do you have to come to? He's here already when he has to come down. No, it means he was yardol l'sof daitam. That's what it means. Yardol l'sof daitam. V'yered Hashem liros means He didn't cause them to get split up because of what was happening now. He caused them to get split because of what he saw was ultimately going to happen in the future if he would not do something to spread them out. Klomar, Yorad v'hishkiach l'mashe yimashech mimenu. He was watching what would end up happening from this. V'mleis ata ein ra, even though now nothing terrible had happened yet. Omnam, hakinus hayaral lehem ral olam. Right? The Gemara says like this, that Kinus l'rishayim is ra lahem v'ra la'olam. And kinus l'tzadikim is tov lahem v'tov la'olam. That when you get a chevra of righteous people together, a chevra of lomdei Torah, a chevra of osei mitzvahs, a chevra of balei chesed. So getting a chevra of bad people together, that's a dangerous recipe. V'hu shekulam ayam askim al avodah zarah. V'abika ha'hi gam kein asher bachlem hu eretz shinar, it was Babel. Ha'ya rosh ha'macha nimrod shay rosh l'avodah zarah. Nimrod was the head of Odazarinik. He was going to be the king over here. Acha hitzik labam avinu v'chelko leh kamo shenoda. V'lchein omar. Hein amecha. They're all one nation. Klomer. What did the pasuk mean to say? Im yimashech zeh. Hine kol ha'olam maskam achas. V'mate imaseh menezek. Even though they didn't do anything wrong right now yet. Zechil masos. Aval im yimashech lo yibatsim mekal sheyazim lasos. Beis rishon v'lo yachbu. Ata lo yunem. Ki ein tzave shador sahim kulam ha'yum mishtalim. There were so many over the Avodah Zarah, but they didn't succeed in convincing the whole world because they were spread out all over the place.
because they can never, it's like whack-a-mole, right? They would try to whack-a-mole the Jews here, they'd pop up somewhere else. You try to whack-a-mole there, they'd pop up somewhere else. That's why the Jewish people have survived through all these years. Because we haven't been in one place. If we were all in one place, we would have been chas v'shalom wiped out. The fact that we're spread out all over, that's the reason why we still survive. Mashal hurricane in Timasha chas kamasam. But that wouldn't have been that way had the people of the Tower of Babel gotten their way. Everybody would have lived in the same location. And they would have wiped out all the Ovdei Hashem. Ki kasher baruch avram mepnei nimrod lelechas eretz kanan. Lu haya nimrod moshe b'chol ha'olam. If nimrod was in charge of the whole world, where would he go? It's interesting. You call the second half of Pesachim Pesach Sheni. We're better than you. Okay, let's skip that. And therefore, he didn't punish them. But he foiled their plot. That's why he mixed up their languages. So, if the individuals are bad, bringing a bunch of bad individuals together to one place is a disaster. That's why it's important to keep them separately. A lot of times, let's say there'll be a group of boys that does something wrong in yeshiva. Happens every like 20 years. Sometimes there'll be a group of guys that does something, they make a mistake, they do something they shouldn't do. So I'm always makpid that when I talk to them, I'm always makpid to talk to them only one by one. I talk to them one by one. I don't talk to them as a group. As a group, they did it as a group. But you're never going to get anywhere with them as a group. As a group, they'll all be mechazik each other. No one's going to break. But you take them one by one. You talk to the guy one by one. You can talk to him straight. You get to the person. You could connect. But like in front of his friend, he's not going to. So that's the thing. Because when people are not doing the right thing, come together. So it's a problem. And again, what I wanted to learn out of this Latov is how much strength there are is when you have a group of friends, you have a shir, you have a group in a shul or in a community that where you have a good chevra pushing in the right direction, pulling in the right direction, davening the right way in shul, and having the right standards of how we conduct ourselves, in shul. Jay mentioned the cell phones, right? So we're all attached to it, but our shuls would be better places if we left. We had a gzeira that they shouldn't touch the phones in shul. People shouldn't touch phones in shul. Things like that, where we could all be in a place where these are the accepted norms that we're going to focus on what we're supposed to focus on. So that was the positive lesson that I wanted to take out of that. Now there's a long piece here which is very powerful, but let's skip it. Let's go to the end. I want to go to the end. So one piece that you only have in English, and then one Sfarno, and we'll wrap it up with that. One piece that you only have in the English. It's from that same sefer that he quoted the other day, Toras HaMincha. I forgot already. I think it was from the late 1800s, Toras HaMincha. And he says you look it up. He says something that many say as well. All the stories in Bereishis. Let me just read it inside. Where is it? All the stories in Bereishis. Oh, right here. Oh, V'yesh l'shol ma'anu tzrichim. I'm sorry, I don't have the Hebrew for you. I just didn't have time to find it. What do we need all these stories? The Dar Mabul, Dar Flaga, Uma Torah. What halacha comes out of this? Uma mitzvah lamadim mitocham. Isn't the Torah called Tamima? What's the Tamimas here with all these stories? And this is included what Rabbi Yitzchak said, that the Torah should have only started from Achodesh Ezelachem, right? The first mitzvah. What do I need all these stories? And he says, this is what many Rishonim say also. Ki Hashem Yisparach Mashkiach Bin Yoni HaAdam Hashkocha Pratis. He says that the goal of all these stories is to know somebody is watching everything. Someone is watching what we do. Someone is keeping track of the good that we do to reward us for the good that we do. Someone is keeping track of the bad that we do to give us onesh for the bad. And that's what many of the Rishonim say, that the reason for all these stories, the Dor HaFlaga, the Dor HaMabul, Cain and Hevel, all of Adam's sin, the Chava, the snake, all of it. All of it's there to teach us Schar Va'onesh. That we should know that somebody's watching. Somebody's keeping track. And especially on the good things that we do, we should know that people are watching us, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is watching us. And about the bad things. V'donas Adam Kfi Masav, Echad Yochid V'Echad Rabin. V'zosi HaTorah Tmima. She'itim Adam Alibo, a person should look into his heart. Lahakir Boro. V'lei that she'isbarach Dayan Emes, to know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Dayan Emes. V'donas Adam. V'gumol Yadav Yashiv Lo. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward us for every moment that we spend learning Torah, for every morning that every moment that we spend doing Chesed and helping people out, for every moment that we spend doing these things. Shari Adam Arishon, Al Shavar Al Sivuyo. Adam Arishon violated the first commandment and he paid for it. The Danu Begerishin, he threw him out of Gan Eden. The Kanas Alav Misa, and he was decreed to have death. The Kolas Adam Bavura and the Dor HaMabul, everybody was. Chol Yetzer Machshava, Rak Ra Kol Hayom. Like our teachers used to tell us, Rak Ra Kol Hayom. Rock music is Ra Kol Hayom. Yeah, okay, that's when we grew up. Our rabbis used to tell us. But anyway, Ki Rav Asam Chol Yetzer Machshava, Rak Ra Kol Hayom. Hisraben, he warned them, and he gave him 120 years in Noach building the Teva to do Tshuva. Then he gave him another 7 days before. Give him time. That's going to happen. So that's the whole goal. And now just the final point, which you do have. It's the last Svarno, I think a beautiful way to end. The Svarno, just a one-line Svarno over here, one-liner. We'll end over here. Vayikach Terach, at the end of the parasha, Vayikach Terach, es Avram Bino, ves Lot Ben Haran Ben Bino, ves Sarai Kaloso, eches Avram Bino, vayetzu itam yorkazan lalechas Eretz Kanaan. They went to go to Eretz Yisrael. So why did Terach and Avram and Lot, why did they set out to Eretz Yisrael? Says the Sfarno, and the Sfarno says it's in two places. He says it at the end of Parashas Noach, and he also says it at the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha. Two places says the same thing. Lech Lecha Eretz Kanaan, Shehoisa Muchenes El Gram Hamalos B'Muskolos. There's something about the land of Israel. That something about the air, something about the land, maybe we'll talk about it for a minute, what is that something? But there's something about the land of Israel that makes it easier for a person to connect to Hashem, to connect to Ruchnius, to connect to spiritual things. It was somehow more beloved, more wanted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu than all the other lands. Kamro. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa, like the pasuk says in Parashas Ekev, it's the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Doresh it v'lo huzak avira b'geshem hamabul, says the Sfarno. Many midrashim say that the mabul, the floodwaters, corrupted all the rest of the world. But there was no floodwaters in Eretz Yisrael, so it wasn't corrupted. So it was still pristine. Ka'amru, pasuk says in Yecheskel, v'lo gishma b'yom zam, passing in Yecheskel, that Eretz Yisrael was not rained on the day of Hashem's anger. Ukvar Amru Chazal, Gemara Bava Basa, Kufnu Chesam Adbeiz, Avira Shel Eretz Yisrael Machkim. The air of the land of Israel causes you to be wise. I once heard somebody ask a question about this. What, Rav Soloveitchik didn't know how to learn? The Rav didn't know how to learn. Avira Eretz Yisrael Machkim, he never had the... So I once heard an interesting explanation. What does it mean? Avir Shel Eretz Yisrael Machkim. There's also a medrash that says, Ein Torah Ketores Eretz Yisrael. So I actually a medrash in Parashas Bereishis. Ein Torah Ketores Eretz Yisrael. So maybe what this means is, in the context of the Sfarno saying it, Lav Dafka, that it makes you smarter or wiser, but in terms of the ability of Torah to sanctify you, to make you a more spiritual person in Eretz Yisrael, because of the level of sanctity. Even though that's not really what the word machkim means particularly, but ein Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael, there it sounds more like in terms of the ability of Torah to influence a person, to inspire a person, to sanctify him, to elevate him. So there's no place like Eretz Yisrael because it's a land that's suffused with Kedusha on all sides. So when you learn in Eretz Yisrael, it's not the same thing as learning in Chutz Laaretz. There's even a medrash, unbelievable medrash that the Ramban quotes. We've quoted it in the Shir over the years, different times. But there's an unbelievable medrash where the medrash says that even putting on tefillin in Chutz Laaretz is just practice for putting on tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. Very strange medrash. What do you mean? I'm mechuyev in tefillin 100% exactly the same in Chutz Laaretz as I am in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah atzilus baaretz. But the medrash seems to say, and again, maybe that's the way I always understood the medrash in the same way. It doesn't mean in terms of the chiyuv to put on tefillin. Of course, it's exactly the same as Chutz Laaretz. But in terms of the ability of tefillin to sanctify you, so it's just practice in Chutz Laaretz. It's just practice because the level of sanctity that you can get out of a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. Then the next line in the Sfarim says the same thing. This is from Lech Lecha. Vayetzel Lech Zaretz Karan, Shaisim before Semes Etzlam. Already at that time, that land was known to them. Laeretz Muchenes Lehizboinenes Ulaavodos Hakel Yisparach. Somehow, Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence was more intensely felt there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. He's in Eretz Yisrael, he's in Chutz Laaretz, but somehow he arranged it that his presence is more intensely felt there. Hopefully, Rabosai, all of us should get there. We should be zeiche to live there, to get there, to be in Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully, together we'll have a nice parsha shir there in the shadow of the Beis HaMikdash. Thank you very much for coming. Everyone should have a wonderful night.